This is Access Radio Chicago, AM 750 WNDZ, Portage, Indiana, Chicago.
The views, opinions, and beliefs expressed on this radio program by the hosts, co-hosts, guests, and or callers do not necessarily reflect those of this radio station and its ownership. The following program, Golfers on Golf, is paid for by Rory Spears Sports Communications Limited and guests.
Welcome to Golfers on Golf Radio, hosted by Ed Stevenson, Phil Berger, Rory Spears, and Len Zien, Chicago's favorite foursome.
All right, it's 10 a.m. Let's tee it up. You're listening to Golfers on Golf Radio. We're going to bring you the world of golf from a Chicago area perspective, and we're playing three this morning. It's two on one, two in studio, and one remotely from the Florida offices here at the station. We've got Rory Spears, longtime Chicago area sports journalist, next to me. I'm Ed Stevenson, PGA professional with DuPage Golf. That's the Forest Preserve District of DuPage County Golf Facilities. And we have, of course, the Illinois Golf Hall of Famer Len Zien joining us from Florida. And I realize things were a bit touch and go this morning, Len. Sounds like the technology issues had you knocked out for a little bit, but hopefully you're with us and we'll get you out to the listeners loud and clear. Good morning, Len.
Oh, good morning, guys. I tell you, we had a couple of power outages yesterday here in the area, yesterday afternoon, and it wiped out one of my TVs for a while, and I tried to get that fixed through the Comcast people, and then the other one went, and so did the internet, and you know, you feel like you're out of touch with the world when things like that happen. So anyway, I'm glad all is back working, and we do another show.
Let's do it. We're getting well into August and late enough in the season that in fact it is playoff time. So here we are, Rory, the FedEx Cup playoffs underway, and once again, more news from LIV Golf this week. I'm sure we'll touch on that at some point, but part of that playoff sequence, of course, includes the BMW Championship for those of us here in Chicago. It's always been a little special connection there, all the way back to the long run of days as the Western Open and the connection with the with Western Golf Association. But Rory, what are you keeping your eyes on as the playoffs get underway?
Well, it'll be interesting to see how the BMW Championship shakes out this week. We're going to get out to Wilmington for the opening round and visit some of those players that are playing, unfortunately. And Len's going to have more on this in just a moment. But our local guys, they don't look like they are going to be advancing. So on the backside of a very special round of golf, I'm looking forward to at the Pine Valley Golf Club this week, and I'll talk a little more about that experience next weekend. But we're gonna see the BMW for a day, and we hope what we see out there is as exciting as the Western Amateur, the WGA's Western Am. Great finish last week up at Exmoor, and went all the way down to the 18th hole. Austin Greaser, runner-up at the US Am last year, final four guy from last year's Western Am, the winner of the University of Illinois Invitational Tournament at Olympia Fields last fall when he holed a shot on the 18th fairway from 168 yards to win it.
Wow.
And so anyway, he pulled through and won the Western Am with some great golf. But I'll be anxious to take a look at the BMW this week. It wasn't in town last year. It's not in town this year. It's coming back next year before it goes out to Colorado again the following year. So we're just trying to keep pace with the Western Golf Association. Lenny, as you noted in our conversation earlier this morning, it's been a rough go for our local boys in the FedEx Cup playoffs.
You know, I tell you, this is really—I feel it's really kind of a downer for the certainly from a local perspective in the playoffs. Of course, Nick Hardy and Luke Donald—they didn't qualify for the playoffs. They finished outside the 125 magic number. Kevin Streelman and Doug Gim were inside that number, but both of them missed the cut in both the last regular season event, the Wyndham Championship, where they could have boosted their point numbers up, and both missed the cut in the first playoff event that's going on right now. So poor Kevin had a good chance to crack the top 70 and play in Delaware. He had been 83rd, and by missing the cut, he dropped to 89 and only the top 70 after this weekend's tournament get to play in Delaware. But Doug Gim was good. He made it into the playoffs. He did it at 111, and then by missing the cut, he dropped all the way down to 123. So, you know, their seasons are over. Their official seasons are over. The PGA Tour will have some tournaments after this is the start of their next season, but kind of a downer for those guys. Now, on the other hand, it doesn't have near the impact, but the Korn Ferry Tour begins its three tournament finals, and that means a lot to Hardy, who will be playing in that one in an attempt to keep his PGA Tour card for next year. He needs to finish in the top 25 after the three tournaments. But the story that I'm fascinated by is Patrick Flavin, who got into that tournament not as a tour member, but the way he played basically in Monday qualifiers and in PGA Tour events. So we got two hopefuls in the Korn Ferry Tour events, which begin in Boise and then go to Columbus, Ohio, and then to Victoria National in Indiana. So those are the next 3 weeks. We have that to follow, and I'll be watching closely for it.
Well, Len, I got to tell you, this week I ran out to see one of our sponsors, the Misswood Golf Club in Romeoville, and they have one of the top 100 rated fitting facilities in the country. And I was checking out and testing a couple of my Callaway clubs and some of my older ones that were still in the bag against the new stuff. And I had a chance to catch up with fitting specialist Matt Carter out there and talk to him about fitting. And people think sometimes the middle of summer, maybe you're not fitting yourself for new clubs, but there's new stuff coming out. And Matt was pleased to report that people who ordered clubs earlier this year and were told they were going to wait 2 or 3 months to get them, the supply chain issues are really starting to clear up, and things are getting a lot better on that front.
It's getting better. Lead times are getting lower. Again, I still want to get to the point where it used to be, where you order clubs and within a week the clubs would be here. That will be great when we finally get to that point again. But last year there was sometimes very long waits for clubs to come in. This year it's getting much better. Pretty much all companies. There's still occasionally some issues with like steel shafts. You know, I know True Temper is really cranking out shafts as fast as they can. But yeah, they're still sometimes hard to get certain steel shafts in the market right now.
All right, that's Matt Carter, one of the fitting specialists who works alongside Eric Russell out there at Misswood. And there was a lot of good news on the fitting scene, and of course, a lot of the companies are coming out with product. Titleist got a new driver. Titleist got a new putter coming out. Callaway has added some things wedge-wise to the line. Ping coming out with stuff. PXG. So also the new Wingman putter by our friends over at Tour Edge. So there's a lot going on equipment-wise, and if you still want to, you know, you haven't played good all summer and you're thinking maybe it's time for some equipment and I'd like to play better before the year ends, maybe get out and have your clubs checked and see if there's something better you can put in your bag.
Well, for years, that whole cycle of new product release was as predictable as the sun coming up and the sun setting, and that whole pattern has completely changed. And one thing that is still consistent in timing is our timing. It's time for our first break, so we'll be back in a little bit with more Golfers on Golf Radio.
The Mount Prospect Golf Club, that dates back to its founding in 1926, has been restored by Essler Golf to bring back some of the features of the great courses by the famous architects of that era. While most golfers will never get to play some of the famous private clubs of that era, at Mount Prospect, you get to play the holes that are styled after the classic hole designs like Redan, Punchbowl, Eden, Cape, and Baritz. Other improvements to the Mount Prospect Golf Club include the inside of the clubhouse and the pro shop, complete with a full line of apparel, golf balls, and more. The practice facility, a major improvement with a double-ended driving range. So if you're looking for a fun course to play or need a venue for a golf outing, call the Mount Prospect Golf Club at 847-259-4200. That's 847-259-4200. Or visit golfmountprospect.com. In 2022, the Erin Hills Golf Club in Erin, Wisconsin, located in the northwest suburbs of Milwaukee, will host this September its fourth USGA Championship when the USGA Mid-Amateur comes to Erin Hills. Erin Hills is already one of the only six U.S. Open courses that you can play. Erin Hills was built inside the club's 652 acres of land left by the glaciers of the Kettle Moraine era. This walking-only course gives the golfer a day to settle into the nature of central Wisconsin on this top 100 it rated in the country golf course. Erin Hills has overnight rooms above its Irish pub and several cottages with multiple bedrooms for groups. So if you want to spend the night before or during multiple rounds of golf, enjoy the overnight lodging at Erin Hills. Some examples of Erin Hills fine beverages include the Erin Hills Pilsner or the Fescue Rescue that hits the spot on a hot summer day. But don't forget, test your putting skills on the new Drumlin putting course. For tee times and rooms in 2022 that are going quickly, call Erin Hills at 866-772-4769. That's 866-772-4769. And don't forget, visit erinhills.com. This segment is sponsored by the Klein Creek Golf Club in Winfield, Illinois. Klein Creek now has a variety of memberships available. For more information, visit KleinCreek.com or call the club at 630-690-0101. And don't forget, check out the Klein Creek app.
I just kept trying to execute my game plan, right? It just kind of kept my head down, knew what I did this morning, knew this back nine was gettable in spots. So, you know, you for sure got to go out and make the putts and stuff, but it was out there. And I proved that this morning to myself and just kind of, you know, kept doing what I've been doing all week and just picking spots, picking targets, hitting that target and then going to find it and hit it again and then trying to make the putt, you know? So that stretch there on the back today, 12, 13, 14, 15, just hit some really, really nice shots and then got some to go. And I guess that was probably the deciding kind of factor there, that stretch. So
all right, we're back. It's 12 minutes after 10 o'clock on Golfers on Golf Radio. I'm Ed Stevenson alongside Rory Spears, and coming out of break, you just heard Austin Greaser, the Western Am champion, and often referred to as the most grueling test in golf, a dramatic finish and a pretty impressive win for Austin. And you know the connection here in Chicago with the Western Golf Association, whether it's that championship or what has now become the BMW Championship, runs pretty deep. There's a lot of history here. I know, Rory, a lot of Chicago area folks will be casting their attention to the East Coast because the BMW Championship is out of town this year. It's not at Medina. It's not at Conway Farms. As we talked about in the first segment, we're going to be looking much further east this year. But there's a lot of good golf as we head that way.
Yeah, we're looking towards the country's first state, the state of Delaware. And I know some people have asked me, how in the heck did the BMW end up in Delaware? Where, believe it or not, there's some great golf there. And if you're going out for the tournament and you're looking for a place to play, I found a fantastic public course, one of the top five rated ones in the state of Delaware. And it's only minutes away from the BMW Championship. So if you're out there and you're driving around in the car, take your clubs along, because the Rock Manor Golf Course is definitely a fantastic place to go golf. I really enjoyed my round there, and we're thrilled to have with us. He's relatively new to the property, but we're thrilled to have General Manager Rob Palillo. Rob, how are you this morning?
I'm great, Rory. Thank you very much. And I'm joined here by our golf professional, Dennis Taggart.
Good morning, guys.
Hey,
morning.
Dennis, how are you this morning?
Good morning, Ed. Good morning, Rory. How are you?
Yeah, good. Perfect. Well, listen, we had a great visit at Rock Manor Golf Club around the media day that was out there at the end of June, and some of our friends in the Delaware area recommended that if I was looking for a course that everybody could play in the vicinity of this week's coming BMW Championship, that Rock Manor was the place to go. And Rob or Dennis, I will let either one of you that wants to start it here, tell us a little bit about the property.
Well, Rock was originally built in 1921, nine holes to start with, expanded in 1936 to 18 holes. Originally, it was the only public golf course in Delaware for the first 40-plus years or so. Many touring pros came through Rock Manor, Gene Sarazen, Ben Hogan, Lawson Little, Ed Porky Oliver. They used to play some exhibition matches here and some, you know, friendly matches here as well. Redesigned again when they put 95 through, I think in the late 60s. And then recently, most recently in the mid-2000s, by Dustin Dorich.
Yeah, and Dennis and I came on board right after that most recent redesign, late 2000s. Both of us took jobs at other facilities for a while, rejoined this golf course over the last couple of years. Okay. But like Dennis mentioned, some pretty popular names back in the original design, and the Gene Sarazens and Ed Oliver, you know, coming through here regularly, staging some exhibition matches. Ed Oliver was a local guy. He used to caddy actually at Wilmington Country Club, where they're hosting the BMW this year. Of course, he caddied at the original site, which is now a golf course named after him, one of our partner facilities at Oliver Golf Club, just a few minutes down the road.
Well, no doubt, when golfers show up to play a course that has been something Lester George has his hands on, they're in for a treat. Of course, his portfolio, of course, is places like Ballyhack or the Colonial Golf Course, Kinloch Golf Club, on and on the list goes. It means a lot. So for golfers showing up to play your facility and with public access, is there recognition of Lester George? And what are their expectations coming out knowing that this has been worked on by Lester George?
So those avid golfers that are familiar with him and his design certainly seek us out. He did a great job designing this layout to fit a whole bunch, a different range of golfers. So we have four sets of tees. You could play it anywhere from 4,700 to 6,400 yards here. So it's a great challenge for those that are seeking a challenge, but novice and intermediate golfers can certainly make a day out of this place as well.
Well, I know both of you are newer to the property, but when you mentioned 1921, did you do much for a centennial celebration last year or this year?
You know, so last year would have been our centennial. We had some plans in the works for that, but unfortunately, coming out of the COVID-19 pandemic, a lot of that stuff had to be kind of scrapped, which is just an unfortunate reality. Sure. We all dealt with it. Just bad timing for us, really.
Mm-hmm. Well, the other thing is, and I know you weren't working at the property at the time, but tell us a little bit about what they were able to do with the golf course. I know you're near an interstate. There was a water retention project that happened, and there was some concerns on how that could affect the golf course. But working with Lester George, you were able, or the people who were there at the time were able to work through that and not only get done what the highway department needed done with the interstate, but there was a lot of improvements made to the golf course at that time.
That's correct. Yeah. So I-95 expanded, and they were still doing some work. I think most of their work was, like you said, some mitigation, flood mitigation issues, just getting water underneath I-95. So it interrupted a little bit. But as a result, we found another chunk of property. We were able to expand on the opposite side of the golf course, what's now our second through our fourth hole. We were able to pick up some more property during that time and make up that yardage.
Well, while I really enjoyed the entire golf course, I just love the way the back nine kind of broke from the clubhouse and went out, and you had a little more elevation change there, and there were some more holes that ran through the trees, and it seemed to be really the most scenic part of the golf course. Tell us about that stretch of holes that's maybe 10 through 15.
Yeah, so our 14th hole is a par 5. That's what we call our signature hole here. Some great look from the top tees. Some pretty dramatic elevation changes. Hazards all the way down the right side. Bunkers lining the entire fairway. Great challenge, elevated green. That you're not finished until the ball's in the hole there.
Well, I know that it's a demanding tee shot, at least from where I was playing.
Did you make it more demanding, Rory? Or
well, I'll put it this way: I cleared the hazard off the tee, and I actually got the ball to the fairway. So I was pretty proud of that. But yeah, it's a fantastic golf hole, and if you're looking for a challenge, you know, sometimes you get a par five, and they're not real long, and people start thinking about getting home in two. But the 14th hole, they're absolutely outstanding. It kind of goes down, and then there's a little bit of an elevated green, if I recall correctly. So really enjoyed the challenge of that hole. You know, and I know you said 14's the signature hole, but for Rob or Dennis, which one of do you have another hole or two that maybe draw a lot of conversation from golfers maybe after they play them, especially for the first time?
Yeah, well, 14 is my favorite hole out here. That tee shot on the back tees, that is very demanding. Great hole. But number two, kind of a long par four. I've got a lake to the right, playing from the back tees, probably about 200 yards plus carry. You know, got out of bounds all the way left. You know, the green's very tricky. So that's an awesome hole out here as well.
Good. Well, it looks like certainly you have some great programs and I'm sure support from your local community. I know their memberships, some Troon programs and that sort of thing. For the traveling golfer, some of our Chicago area listeners headed into town, what would you advise them in terms of finding their tee time and in terms of get there? And even certainly we want them to play your property, but if they're making a golf trip out of it, are there some other places that you would recommend are a nice complement to maybe put on the itinerary for a visit?
Yeah, for sure. So like I said, Indigo Sports is a Troon subsidiary. We have a couple other courses just a few minutes down the road. I mentioned the Ed Porky Oliver Golf Club. Especially this week, if you're making the trip, it is the original site of the Wilmington Country Club. This year's host of the BMW. Ed Oliver himself won the Western Open back in 1941. So definitely some tie-in there if you want to come check out how it started for this year's BMW. Delcastle Golf Club, just a few more minutes down the road, another sister facility of ours. Great wide open layout there. Great track for golfers of all abilities.
It's 10:22. You're listening to Golfers on Golf Radio. I'm Rory Spears, along with Ed Stevenson in studio. Our third is Len Zeem, and Lenny's down in the Palmaire Country Club Studios in Florida. And we've lost Lenny apparently. Yeah, a lot of technical connections down that way. So anyway, we'll keep it right here for now. Well, Rob or Dennis, if people are coming and looking to make tee times, what's the best way to make a tee time and come out and see the Rock, as I'm told it's called, right there in Wilmington, only minutes away from this week's BMW Championship at Wilmington Country Club?
Yep, rockmannergolf.com is the best way to get your tee time here. You could also download our free app. It's available in iTunes or Google Play. Just search for Rock Manor Golf. You can book tee times right online, save you some time checking in as well. And yeah, still some availability for this week with the BMW in town. It is kind of filling us up, but still plenty of times available, especially in the twilight hours. We encourage everybody to come check us out.
Okay, and you know what? I did have a chance before I had to leave the property to get to the airport on time, but I know that when I walked through the bar and grill, it smelled pretty good in there, and somebody was cooking something. So what's the highlight on the menu if they're going to grab a bite before or after golf over at Rock Manor?
Yeah, Chef John is a master of the wings. If you're into a good wing, he has something different going every day with them. I would certainly try him out. He's got a pickle bucket wing, marinated in pickle brine and Frank's hot sauce. And while it might not sound as appealing as I made it, I would certainly recommend that. If he doesn't have it on the special board, just ask him for it. I'm sure he'll take care of it.
Awesome.
You made it sound pretty good. So if it's even better, I'm enticed.
I beat that. Guys, I might have to stop back over just to eat this time, even if we don't have time for golf. But anyway, hey, listen, Rob and Dennis, thanks for taking a few minutes out of your schedule. I think I saw on the website you might have the club championship going on this week. So if that's the case, we'll let you get back and get out and handle that with your staff. And we look forward to a great week in Delaware this week. And it was great to see the club. And thanks for taking a few minutes again to join us here on Golfers on Golf Radio in Chicago.
All right, guys. Thank you for having us. And we look forward to seeing you guys maybe next week.
Thanks. All right. Take care. That's General Manager Rob Palillo and also the head professional Dennis Taggart, I believe.
Right.
Yep. Okay. So anyway, the technical issues are continuing down in Florida. I think we've lost Lenny for now. But anyway, we are going to we'll keep it right here for a moment. Ed, I'll tell you, it's amazing to when you go to different parts of the country and you get a chance to play. Just, you know, it doesn't have to be the most famous private club, but you know, some public courses, especially a place like Rock Manor with 100-year history, I found it a really good time to go out and play this this old classic gem, even though maybe all those holes weren't there 100 years ago, but a majority of them were, and they were pretty good.
No, well, if you're a fan of architecture, golf in general, I mean, isn't that one of the great things? You know, certainly, I think we sometimes want to focus on are we the shiny candy of the big name that we know tour events been at. We want to go play, and certainly that's some of the allure of golf. But there's so many courses that have a depth of history, have a challenge. They're on beautiful property, and they may not be the names you recognize, but they're sometimes the most special courses you play on a trip. Certainly, you know, whether it's in the United States, I remember even in Scotland, a lot of players will go over and want to play British Open courses in Scotland and England, and they come back. They found they got their game beat up a little bit playing some of these pretty tough venues. When in fact it's some of the local courses that in many ways will create the most memorable of experiences. So here you get to play a Lester George course, and you look through his resume. If you don't belong to one of those private clubs, you might not get access to some of the courses that a pretty talented architect has put his touch on. So for me, of course, as a public golf operator and PGA pro, I'm a big fan of those public access venues that have a special history and maybe a benefit for the community, whether it's stormwater or you know, youth programs, that sort of thing. They're at the heart of what makes golf pretty special.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, as somebody who's played over 500 courses and starting to creep towards 600 different courses around the country, you mentioned Kinloch with Lester George, and that's probably in the top 30 courses that I've ever played. It was absolutely outstanding. Great course in Virginia. And if you get out in that Virginia, D.C., Maryland, Delaware area, you'll find a lot of different projects from Lester George. And, you know, I didn't know much about Lester at first. Our good friend Greg Martin knew him through the American Society of Golf Course Architects, ASGCA, and said, you know, Lester does some pretty good work, and he does. So if you get a chance to get out to Delaware, don't be afraid to get over to Rock Manor and check out this golf course. It's a lot of fun. It's really a good time. It's not overbearing, but it'll give you a challenge. And with that, I think we'll take our second break, and we'll continue our look at this upcoming week's FedEx Cup playoff event, the BMW Championship, when we talk to the head golf professional at Wilmington Country Club, Michael Shank, right after this.
This segment was sponsored by the Klein Creek Golf Club in Winfield, Illinois. 18 holes of golf and home to the Pier 19 restaurant in the clubhouse. The Klein Creek Pavilion for large groups, weddings, and more. Don't forget, visit KleinCreek.com or call 630-690-0101. And don't forget, check out the new Klein Creek app. The Misswood Golf Club on Renwick Road in Romeoville is one of the Chicago area's top-rated public golf courses. Misswood's commitment to excellence continues under the McWethy family, both on and off the golf course. The Ray Hearn Design not only hosts the Phil Kozen Illinois Women's Open every July, but other tournaments all season long. The professional staff is one of the largest in the area, so for lessons, club fittings, Mistwood is the place to go. Mistwood has been rated a top 100 fitting location in America by Golf Digest magazine. So golfers, go enjoy a day of Mistwood golf and then cool down in McWethy's Tavern or dine outside on the pub's patio. Make your tee time today by calling 815-254-3333. That's 815-254-3333. Or visit mistwoodgc.com. And don't forget, now try out Mistwood's new honey from the bee farm at Mistwood Farms. Heritage Oaks Golf Club at 3535 Dundee Road in Northbrook is no longer your father's sportsman's golf and country club. Heritage Oaks is not only a new name, but it's a brand new clubhouse complete with a stylish pro shop and the Acorn Grill, a great place to enjoy food and beverage before and after golf with your choice of both indoor and outdoor dining. Located adjacent to the bar is the new simulator room with two simulators that make golf, golf lessons, and club fittings a year-round option at Heritage Oaks. The new putting green is over double the size of the previous one, and the driving range is both double-sided and has the famed TrackMan technology. So if you like to get all of your stats and numbers that you need to know about your game, you can do so now with the help of TrackMan. Heritage Oaks is a 27-hole golf facility, so whether it's playing the 18-hole classic course or the legacy 9-hole course, come out and play the new Heritage Oaks Golf Club with new greens, tees, and fairways by calling 847-291-2351. That's 847-291-2351. Or online, visit heritageoaksgc.com.
All right, we're back. It's just past 10:30, which means we're heading into the back nine of our hour of golf talk here on Golfers on Golf Radio. In studio this morning, I'm PGA professional Ed Stevenson alongside sports journalist Rory Spears. And Rory, we've been talking a lot about the upcoming BMW Championship. Of course, the FedEx Cup playoffs have kicked off this week. They're in Memphis at the St. Jude. You know, earlier as we started the show, we were talking with Len Ziem, and he was commenting that some of the Illinois guys unfortunately didn't fare quite as well in terms of moving forward in the FedEx Cup playoffs. We talked about Kevin Streelman a little bit. Pretty impressive and amazing, really, a guy like Kevin Streelman, since getting his tour card in 2007. I believe he's qualified for every FedEx Cup playoff every year, which speaks to consistency. Pretty hard to do, but we know when it comes to consistency, the BMW Championship is one that has moved around. It used to be in Chicago for a long time. Now it's been consistently on the move, but to some great venues, Rory.
Yeah, well, you know, Ed, they've got wheels on those BMWs. Ah, they drive around a little bit, you
well
know.
Done,
and at
Rory.
First, when they came out and said Wilmington Country Club, some people said, "Well, Delaware, really?" But no, and fortunately, the last couple of years, I've traveled to the two venues, and as soon as you walk into these clubs and you take a look at the golf course, you understand why. And to tell us more about Wilmington Country Club, it's the head golf professional, Michael Shank. Michael, how are you this morning?
Good morning. How are you, Rory? Ed, pleasure to be with you.
Good, thanks.
Yeah, it's great to be with you, Michael, and we're looking forward to joining you at Wilmington this week as the championship tees off on Thursday. But, Michael, it's got to be a big, exciting time for the club, its membership, the people around the area in Delaware to have a big PGA Tour event, and not just a regular tour stop, but one of the playoff events come to town. I know that when we got there for Media Day, the first speaker was none other than the governor of the first state of the nation, Governor John Carney, and we were thrilled and impressed to see him show up for a golf Media Day. We know things like that don't happen in Illinois.
Well, absolutely, Rory, and I can tell you the excitement is not only here with the members of the club, but yeah, definitely the entire community. You know, it's just a big deal at the end of the day. You look at the economic impact and the opportunity for golf fans in this area to engage with a championship like this, it's pretty special.
Yeah, it's exciting. I know what it means to the Chicago area when we have something in town, and it's a lot. And I think what some people don't always recognize is how much planning goes into it and what a big commitment it is for a membership at a club. And I guess as the opportunity came along, you know, certainly it's an interruption to what is always too short a golf season unless you're in the southern part of the country. But what was your membership's perspective as this opportunity came along? Was it a no-brainer to get on board and get behind this? And how long ago did the planning start?
So the planning started back in March of 2020. We were approached. The Golf Association of Philadelphia is celebrating their 125th anniversary this year. And they had reached out to their good friends at the Western Golf Association, who, of course, run this event, and asked if there'd be an opportunity to host it in the Philadelphia area. And, you know, once that decision was made, they approached the club. And philosophically, it was a little bit of a shift for us. We have never hosted a professional event. We have hosted six USGA national championships, right, including the U.S. Amateur back in 71. But I think once we really started to learn about the event, you know, playoff event, 70 players, no cut, and the work that they're doing for the Evan Scholar Foundation, which is tremendous, huge amount of support. I'm proud to say I think we've got the greatest number of host club volunteers that the wow. championship has ever had. You know, over 400 members volunteering, and so just a whole lot of support here at the club.
Well, Michael, I know the initial process had to go over a few bumps before you really got settled in. There's that part of getting the PGA Tour out there to take a look at the golf course to see if they agree that you're capable of doing it, and if there's enough golf course there to challenge these top players. And there was a bump getting them out there, and then no sooner did they come out and say, "Yeah, it looks like we could bring the tournament here." Mother Nature dumped on your golf course a little bit. Take us through as those first few months there, because it really took something for the club to fight through that and stay in the process.
Yeah, absolutely. So, as you alluded to, it's a three-party agreement, the club and the Western Golf Association, and, of course, the PGA Tour. And the tour was out here in July of 2020 and had an opportunity to walk all 18 holes and see, you know, what the South Course offered, and worked with our architect, Andrew Green, and had made some decisions to, you know, add a few tees and a few bunkers that were going to challenge the world's 70 best players. And then about a month after they were here, we had an F1 tornado touchdown on wow. the property, which took out over 300 trees and every oh. bunker on the golf course, and appeared at first to be a major setback, but ultimately, you know, was a huge blessing for the club and for Andrew Green and the work that he was able to come in and do after that event, you know, which included moving one of our greens 60 yards back in the place that a 280-year-old oak had previously been, you know, really opened up some avenues for us, and we were able to add 200 yards to the golf course, and I think we're going to present a pretty good challenge this week.
Wow. Amazing. And of course, yeah, you have to find the silver lining in those type of events. But when it comes to the best, you mentioned a few times, the best 70, top 70, best 70 of the best players in the world will be there competing. We know 30 are going to move on. When it comes to setup, venue, you mentioned adding 200 yards. What do you expect the PGA Tour setup will be? What type of length range will we see? And how are you going to challenge those top 70 players?
Yeah, so the golf course tips out a little north of 7,500 yards. It's a 7,534. And, you know, ultimately the PGA Tour is not in the defend par business, which, you know, you could argue the USGA is in. You know, it's an entertainment right. Factor for them. They don't mind seeing some birdies and the guys making a few out there. But by the same token, this is a playoff event for them, and the course setup is going to be a little more challenging this week than you would see week to week. I know in speaking with Stephen Cox yesterday, the lead referee for the event, you know, they're not afraid to let the rough get a little higher and challenge these guys with some of the hole locations throughout the week. So, you know, I think you combine that with a golf course that, the guys have never seen before, and we're excited to see what they can do.
Well, Michael, I got to tell you, as somebody who's played a few U.S. Open courses and sometimes right after the tournament was over, that rough that you guys have grown out there was among the toughest that I've ever seen. And, of course, on Media Day, you watered it down for us that made it even a little more challenging. But, you know, I think the players, if they don't hit those fairways, they're, you know, and I know these guys can hit great shots out of the rough, but they are going to be challenged a little bit, you know, by that rough that's out there. And I know that one thing that, you know, confused a few of us that had never played the golf course before is the PGA Tour. They didn't just flip the nines. They have really tinkered with the routing here to set up, I guess, an exciting finish for TV. But the holes in the order for the tournament are not really, I guess, what your members play on a regular basis.
Yeah, so you know, they're flipping things around a little bit. They made a bit of an alphabet soup out of the holes, but they are using all 18 holes, and it will finish on our 18th hole. Interestingly, we did flip the nines back in 71 for the U.S. Amateur. ABC Sports at the time felt that the 18th shot was a little better for their cameras, and the membership retained that change. They never changed it after 71. So we've been playing that routing ever since, but yeah, they've got it a little mixed up as they go around. I think there were a couple reasons there. One is you know, the hospitality build-out is definitely part of the consideration, and it'll offer an opportunity for the last four holes to really be all together. Interestingly, we've got a couple short par fours coming down the stretch that we normally wouldn't, so I think there'll be some exciting things there that could happen in terms of the tournament, And it equalizes the nines a little bit. There's a bit of a disparity in terms of how difficult they are. So they'll play a little bit more level now throughout the week.
Well, you mentioned the build out, and we've talked about the planning and preparation, and it's just I know it's more significant than anyone can imagine, and I'm so impressed that you have 400 members volunteering. I think that's a real feather in the cap to your membership and their engagement here. But I imagine, even with this alternate routing, they're probably looking forward to getting back out on their course after the championship wraps up, and perhaps even playing this alternate layout or playing some of the pin placements they saw during the four-day event. Do you have some things planned for your memberships as they your members as they get their clubs back out and start playing after the 30 move on to the next step in the playoffs?
Well, for sure, Ed. We actually had an opportunity to play the BMW routing for a little over a month coming into the event. We're going to be playing it a little bit out of the event as well, just to capture some of that excitement. And you know, you mentioned the impact on the membership. We've tried really hard to minimize it to the greatest extent possible. Today, actually, you know, we've got two golf courses here on property, and we closed up the south about a week and a half ago, but still got 120 golfers out there today on our north course. Today will be the last day they can play, and then you know, we'll be fully pivoted to the tournament here starting tomorrow.
Well, Michael, tell us a little bit about, you know, your clubhouse. I was really impressed by the large building that's the home to the club there. And, you know, when people in Chicago look at clubhouses, they talk about Olympia Fields, they talk about Medina, some of the older historic buildings up along the North Shore on Lake Michigan. But you come up on your clubhouse, and it's not small. It's big, and it could give some of our larger clubhouses here in Chicago a run for its money.
Yeah, well, I would agree with that, Rory. I've seen some of those clubhouses you mentioned, and you know, I think maybe one of the telling statistics of the week is that as last year they built out 340,000 square feet of tenting at Caves Valley, and this year it's 270,000 square feet, and that's really a testament to all the indoor space that they're able to utilize, you know, here at the club, which I think they've enjoyed, and we've got a terrific setup here in the media center this week if you make it back, and you know, look forward to seeing you here.
Well, I will be there, and unfortunately, we're not going to get a chance to stay for all 4 days, but we're gonna get in after dropping by and getting 18 holes in up in New Jersey at another top-rated golf course over there. But really looking forward to seeing everything that's Wilmington Country Club hosting this major championship. And Michael, I'm sure the club wants to get through this one first, but from what I saw, I got to believe that if the membership's up for it, that there would be other golf organizations that would be really proud to put on some of their championships at your club as well.
Well, I appreciate you saying so. You know, I think Wilmington's always been a very special club. And, you know, for a long time, the membership was happy to sort of have it to themselves, if you will. And, you know, I think as time has gone on and the club has evolved, you know, there's more of a community viewpoint now at the leadership level, and how can we engage and share what we have with the community. And, you know, I think we're going to get through the week first, and then certainly we'll be seeing how everybody feels here in a month or two. You know, I wouldn't say this is an every year kind of thing, but you never know a few years down the road, you know, what might come.
Well, yeah, congrats on that approach. That's, you know, that's fun to hear about kind of the direction leadership's looking there. And certainly I know estimates are that you'll have 100,000 to 120,000 people on property. So when part of the excitement, I know, is always to see the best players in the world competing. But I'm sure for a lot of the community in your area and the surrounding areas, just a chance to, I think, be on property and see the course and experience the beauty of it is going to be part of what they'll remember and a big part of that experience.
Absolutely. And it looks like we're going to have a couple of nice days to walk around. I think certainly going to feel good for the players coming out of Memphis, I can tell you that.
Yeah, probably. So, hey, Michael, I know you've got a very famous member there. Any possibility he can get himself out of Washington, D.C. and stop by this week?
We'll see. I think that would certainly add a wrinkle to the logistics of things. But but we'll see what happens.
Okay. And for our listeners who may not understand that, President Biden is has been a longtime member at the club. And I don't know if his day job will let him get away and come out and see some golf. But anyway, if he does, it'll make for an interesting week. Michael Shank, head golf professional, Wilmington Country Club, home of this week's BMW Championship. Michael, thanks for taking a few minutes with us, and I'll look forward to seeing you out there on Thursday as the championship tees off.
Pleasure to be with you both. Thanks so much.
Thanks.
All right, take care. All right, with that, we are going to take a quick break, hear from our friends at DuPage Golf, and a little more, and we'll be right back.
DuPage Golf has reinvented the nature of golf in Chicagoland. After extensive renovations, the Preserve at Oak Meadows is reborn as a new, award-winning 18-hole golf course, practice facility, and environmental haven. The reviews are in. The Preserve at Oak Meadows joins the ranks of top courses in the country on Golf Week's Best You Can Playlist and is the winner of Golf Digest's Green Star Award and Golf Inc.'s Renovation of the Year. Visit DuPageGolf.com to book a tee time. Learn more about the Preserve at Oak Meadows at DuPageGolf.com.
Kind of got a couple breaks coming in. I mean, with 45 minutes to go, I thought I was headed home. I mean, I really did. 45 minutes to go in stroke play. So I had switched shoes, kind of, you know, not necessarily threw in the towel, but all but did. And then, you know, had some fortunate breaks from my side. That couple guys made a couple bogeys coming in and got a chance. And once I got the chance, you know, I was confident and wanted a taste of what holding the trophy felt like.
All right. Once again, that was Austin Greaser, the Western Amateur Champion. And sounds, Rory, like he squeaked it out of that stroke play format. But once in the match play, took charge and ran the table. So congratulations to him. You're listening to Golfers on Golf Radio. We've got a little time left in our hour of golf talk. And I'm Ed Stevenson, PGA professional, alongside Rory Spears, sports journalist, and of course, the writer of our very own Golfers on Golf blog. You can find it at golfersongolf.com. And, you know, between the broadcasts, we're bringing you the breaking news from around the country, but certainly with a Chicago area perspective. And, Rory, as we head into August and the fall, what do you think might be coming out of your keyboard? What are some of the stories we know? We've been talking about the playoffs here for the PGA Tour, the FedEx Cup. We know that in Chicago, actually at Rich Harvest Farms in September, the LIV Tour will be here, and there's been no shortage of conversation about the LIV Tour, and it's been somewhat, I'd say, to say it's somewhat polarizing is probably an understatement, but what can your readers at golfersongolf.com look forward to in the weeks and months ahead?
Well, Ed, one of the hot topics going around last Saturday at the Western Amateur at Exmoor Country Club, and our guest from last week, their superintendent, Tim Green, and his staff, outstanding. The golf course was in beautiful condition. But I had a couple people approach me and said, what do you hear about Rich Harvest Farms losing their greens in advance of the LIV event next month? So, you know, I had had somebody tell me that before I got out to the golf course. So I took some time to reach out to Jerry Rich, the owner of Rich Harvest Farms, to get his take on it. And here's what Mr. Rich told me. He said, we had two greens that had a little bit of a POA problem. And so as a result, some work was done, but the two greens will be fine. They'll be just like the other 16 greens come championship week in September. And they will all roll very pure and anywhere from 12 to 15, wherever the tour officials from LIV want to put them. So anyway, he's invited me to come out and inspect those two greens and and put an end to this story once and for all. So I'm going to get out to Rich Harvest Farms as soon as I can, take a look at the golf course. Some of the build-out is already going on already out there, I understand, from Mr. Rich. So we'll look forward to an advanced look at Rich Harvest Farms in the next week or two. We will have more on that. Elsewhere this week, you know, I had some thoughts. It's been a problem. Len Ziem and I have talked about it. Tim Cronin at the Illinois Golfer and Lenny and I have all talked about it. You know, Ed, it gets really disappointing to see golf organizations not communicate with one another and constantly schedule tournaments on top of each other. Last week, we had the Illinois Open, and we had the Western Amateur. We had the Illinois State Women's Junior Golf Championship, and, you know, all at once, and also the National Junior Championship was played out at Cog Hill, run by the National PGA office. And it was somewhat disturbing to hear that the national office, early in the year, when they were still considering dates, they reached out to the local office and said, you know, hey, we could use some help on the operations side, maybe some media contact information. You know, we got a big junior event coming in, a junior event that's been won by a lot of famous names in professional golf today. And they lobbed out two or three sets of dates. And the local office told the national office, whatever you do, don't come the week of August 1st. We're running the Illinois Open. Plus, as soon as we're done, the media are going to run to the Western Amateur. You're not going to get media coverage. Our staff really doesn't have the time or the resources to be involved. And shortly thereafterwards, a couple weeks later, what did the national office do? They did exactly what they were told not to do, and they scheduled their tournament the week of August 1st, which is a real disservice to some of the players. It's a disservice to the media. It's a disservice to the good folks at Cog Hill. You know, when they have an event, they run it well out there. And, you know, it kind of even hurt the local staff here at your section office. And I don't like to see things like that. A lot of us didn't. And the same thing in September. You know, and before I get to September, the next 2 weeks here, what do we have in town? Nothing. You get to September, the first 2 weeks, nothing. The last 2 weeks, nothing. The third week of September, what do we have? We have the USGA Mid-Amateur at Erin Hills. We have the Women's Western Golf Association going to have their annual meeting and Women of Distinction to bring in Judy Rankin to town, which will be a great day to hear from one of the great women in the sport of golf. There is also that week the LIV Series event, and there's the University of Illinois Top Collegiate Invitational at Olympia Fields. They're all the same week. You know, why do you do that? And then you have pretty much nothing the rest of the month. And it's just sad that When organizations don't talk to one another, these are the kind of problems you get. And I addressed that a little bit in last Monday's column.
Well, Rory, I can see at least it doesn't bother you at all. But no, understandable. And I think you've identified a need for there to be a scheduling czar between the organizations to at least facilitate. But yeah, certainly we live in an era of, internet communication and instant access to information, so some coordination there certainly would make a lot of sense. I realize where Live Golf Series is probably doing its own thing and not really thinking about something collegiate or whatever else, but certainly when it comes to bringing those events to the people, the conduit that the local media plays, you can't be four places at once, and that is unfortunate.
You know, our good friend Tim Cronin at the Illinois Golfer pulled out a quote by Illinois Golf Hall of Famer Tommy Bartlett. Tommy Bartlett wrote this back in the 1950s. There was tournament scheduling conflicts then, and he said it's about time for the golf organizations to start talking to one another, and that was run in the paper in like 1957. Well, obviously, not a lot has changed in about the last 60-some years.
A few more communication resources, perhaps, that's unfortunate, but hopefully some lessons learned and some further coordination. Rory, before we wrap up here, I wanted to mention last week, of course, our listeners heard from Greg Martin, who has been a part of a lot of, great projects, certainly around the region, around the country, and here in the Chicago area. We talked to Greg last week about Settlers Hill opening up in Batavia, part of the Kane County Forest Preserve District. And I had the chance to join architect Greg Martin and Todd Quintino this week. We had Scott DeBolt with us, who's handled the agronomy and worked to help support the grow-in through with his seed products at, I think, over 4,000 courses around the world. We had a chance to go and play Settlers Hill, and got to say, Greg did a spectacular job. It's a soft opening right now, so they're certainly completing grow-in and those sorts of things. But my goodness, it lived up to expectations. And Greg talked to us during the show about making the features and the course better fit the scale of that site. It's a big property, and it was beautiful. So kudos to Greg Martin, a job well done. And I think whether it's this year or heading into next year, as growing and the continues and they get out of the soft opening, the Chicago area has another great venue for golfers to go enjoy.
Well, you saw that at the Preserve. I mean, when you opened, I'm sure if you wanted to be picky, you could have gone and found a few spots where you say, yeah, we need a little grow in here and there. But if you went out and played it right away, and then you didn't come back for a year, it was just eye-popping what had happened during that time.
Well, it's amazing. You know, these golf courses are living entities, Rory, and they're in some ways when they're redone, they're like newborns, and they grow into kind of young adults after some time, and then eventually they fully mature and you meet their full personality in adulthood. That's part of what's fun. We had our soft opening at the Preserve at Oak Meadows in 2017. And very much, I think the course, we knew it was something special at that time, but the course we now know today in 2022, it's like we've met the young adult, and I think they'll experience the same thing. But first impressions out in Kane County at Settlers Hill is that the improvements are significant, and it's a lot of fun to play.
Yeah, well, I'm looking forward to getting out there. Also this week at golfersongolf.com. Not only did I have my thoughts on Monday, but we had an update, the new line of Scotty Cameron putters coming out in about 2 weeks from Titleist. Also, a little recap of the CDGA, their Mid-Am Championship over at Ridgemore. We got a three-time champion team in that event for the first time. Check out the website and find out who it was. Hmm. Also, congratulations to Illinois PGA Senior Pro, Roy Biancalana, winning the Senior PGA Championship, and he's going to join Mike Small and about eight other pros from the section out down southwest, I believe, in the fall for the National Senior Club Pro that earned some spots in the Senior PGA Championship next year. So, again, congrats to Roy. He was also the low Illinois PGA section professional at the Illinois Open at White Eagle. And He's played some remarkable golf in the last few weeks.
Well, and I really over his career, I think for any of our listeners that have been in the Chicago area, they've probably heard the name. Hopefully they've had a chance to meet him. If you do, you don't forget him. He's, in addition to being a skilled golfer and someone who's competed at a pretty high level for a long time, he's just a heck of a guy and someone who's a joy to be with, helps make this game of golf more fun.
Yeah, and you know what? In the last minute or here before we got to run, we do want to thank our guests, Rob Polillo, Dennis Taggart, also Michael Shank, the head pro at Wilmington. We want to thank Brian, our producer, for getting us out to you. It's been a real fun show, and we also wanted to thank our good friend Bill Berger, who's been with us for a long time. Billy, what did he do? He banged up his foot or something, and he's getting ready to out of town.
Getting ready to hit the road. So we're getting Bill in tip-top shape here. But if you want to see Bill, you know where to find him. He's at Jake's Pizza on Grand Avenue in Franklin Park. Still, I say the best thin crust pizza in Chicago.
All right. With that, we are out of time for this week. We will be back for the season finale next Saturday, and we think it'll be a good one. We hope you'll join us then. Until then, go play and hit them straight.
The preceding program, Golfers on Golf, was paid for by Rory Spears Sports Communications Limited and guests.